Is there a problem, sir? What's your fucking problem?
Alex, qu'est-ce que c'est?
Qu'est-ce que c'est? Fucking plane's gonna explode!
Shut up, Brownie.
You're so not funny.
Welcome back to the Hide and Feel Horrors podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
And today we're reviewing Final Destination, released in 2000, directed by James Wong, and story by Glenn Morgan, James Wong, and Jeffrey Riddick. Tawan, can you give the people the plot summary?
Alex Browning and his class are embarking on a trip to Paris. Alex experiences a premonition where he sees the plane explode moments after leaving the ground. Alex insists that everyone get off the plane, and seven people, including Alex, are forced to disembark. All watch as the plane actually explodes in a fireball. He and the other survivors have briefly cheated death, but will not be able to evade their fate for very long. One by one, these fugitives from fate fall victim to the Grim Reaper.
We've finally gotten to the Final Destination franchise. I know you've been requesting this. You've been requesting us to do this for a long time.
I have. Final Destination is one of my favorite franchises.
It's one of mine too. And I was thinking, like, when we get down to the ranking episode, I was like, "Fuck, that's gonna be hard for me," because at any given moment, I can say that three of these movies can be interchangeable for my top spot. There is one that's like for sure at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I know it's the same for both of us. I don't even have to ask which one. We'll get there when we get there, but I know it's the same.
Yes, but like going to this one, like I saw this, I wanna say actually I think I might have seen it in 2000. Either late 2000 or early 2001, whenever it hit, it was on video and DVD. So I remember seeing this when I was a kid, like not too soon after it came out. Because y'all, I was like going to five, leaning into six in 2000, 2001. Because, you know, I'm almost 30. But yeah, I remember this coming out, and I was excited to see this as a kid and going back because I had already seen Devin Sawa in a different horror, like a horror comedy movie. So this was just like, oh, I can see him in something else again. Because I don't know if you've ever seen The Idle Hand.
I don't think I've seen that. I think we were supposed to cover that, right?
We're going to cover it after Final Destination.
Because I remember you bringing it up, but I don't think we actually did it.
I brought it up a few times because there have been other kid actors. I think I brought it up when we did the little short review of the Chucky series, the first season. Because that was one of the first horror movies I ever saw Devin Sawa. I mean, that also has like Vivica A. Fox for some fucking reason and Jessica Alba in one of her first roles. So like it's a stupid, dumb horror comedy, and like we're definitely gonna get there. So like I was excited to see Devin Sawa in this again. And let's just get into the movie itself. Now for me, this first movie is great. It set up a lot of mystery. Mm-hmm. It sets up a lot of possibilities. But it also does something that isn't done again. And we'll talk about that. Because there's a particular scene that I want to talk about when we get to the scene section. That's also a kill section. It's just, I don't know, that scene kind of just like takes it out for me. But overall, this is a good movie. Like from the production, from some of the acting is questionable. But from the cast, I mean, because even the guy who plays Carter, I grew up loving Dawson's Creek, and he played the only gay character on there, and this was a good movie, and I felt the creepy vibes. What about you? What are your thoughts of Final Destination?
Yeah, like this one, I think just going back, I believe I saw Final Destination 2 first, and then I went back to see this one when I was younger, and this one had more of a like creep factor to it, compared to some of the others. Like, you know, they still do good with, like, keeping up that suspense feeling when you get in, like, the other movies. But I feel like this one, I don't know, it just felt like it had, like, more of a creepiness to it, or, like, it felt more suspenseful. But also, it was just because at the time I'm sure at the time, like, with this particular one, like, you know, it being the first one, no one really knew what was going to happen. Like, we kind of knew with the franchise as it is now. So it was kind of just one of those, like, oh, shit type of, like, feelings, like, oh, who's getting it next? When's it going to happen? What's going to happen? So I feel like that feeling kind of comes out a lot in this one. Besides that, though, it holds up still pretty well. Like, you know, showing this one to anyone who hasn't seen any other franchise, it's one of those, you know, older films where you can show it to someone and they can still appreciate it. You know, and it doesn't feel like it's aged, like, poorly or anything, nor have, like, the effects and stuff as well, which
most of them were practical besides.
Yeah, that's what I was saying too. Yeah, practical effects, they always hold up over time. Like, they just do it so well. And, you know, I feel like that's why.
Which hurts a particular entry in this franchise when they get away from it.
I was just thinking it like, ooh, the way it goes. But yeah, it's like it's held up like very good over time, and I'm glad that we're finally, you know, getting to this franchise, and also that it's making a comeback as well with an upcoming movie for next year,
which sounds really good. Like, I've been looking at the breakdown they've been playing out for that new movie, and it seems so interesting. So I can't, mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what happens. But for this one, let's talk about some scenes that stood out. Good, bad, or indifferent. I have to say, the scene with his parents in the beginning. For you.
Whoa, mama, you gotta leave that on.
Was kind of weird, like, only because I don't think we ever saw them again. Did we?
Wait, say that again?
Like, we get that scene with him, with Alex and his parents in the beginning. They're talking about the bag and all that. But I don't think we really, like, see them again after that.
That is true.
And I feel like, I think that goes for, like, all the parents. Like, your kid, like, if my kid just narrowly escaped from being blown up in a plane, like, explosion, that motherfucker's gonna be stuck to me. No matter whether they wanted or not. like, you barely got off the plane because you had a vision. You're going to be stuck to me. Like, you're going to be so annoyed, but you're not getting out of my sight. And not to mention, now your friends are dying, and I'm, like, you, I, no, like, where were the parents? All the parents, actually. There needs to be some parental supervision.
No, that's actually true, though. I never even thought about that. I definitely would not be letting my child out of my view after any of that. Especially after the rest of them ended up dying, too. Like, okay, you know, one, especially with the first one, which I guess it'll give one of my scene as well, the first death that we get post the blow up, which was
Todd, his best friend.
Todd, the best friend, because they made it. There's like, well, not they made it. Death or whoever the powers that be made it seem like he killed himself, which is crazy. Like the way that it went about it made it seem like that he killed himself.
Okay, yes, okay. That was the scene. That was the one I was referencing. So, like, I'm gonna hop, like, because it doesn't do that for the rest of the movie, nor does it do that in the second movie, or, like, I don't think it did it in the third one. I can't tell you what they did in the fourth one, but it doesn't
They didn't do that anymore. I wonder if that was maybe just a one-off.
Yeah, it was only for that. Like, it cleaned up after itself for that one kill.
Yeah, that part. Yeah, I've always thought about that, actually. Yeah, whenever I watch that one, because, yeah, it, like, the water, like, goes back under the sink or whatever. And, yeah, that never happens again, like, death, like, cleaning up after itself. It was definitely, it was very weird, but, yeah, you know.
That scene always throws me off because of that.
Yeah, that's never explained, but, I mean, we got a lot of shit that's never explained in this franchise.
And then going back to pre-vision, like all the stuff in the airport, like, I'm sorry, I have close friends, lots of close friends, but we are not taking shits together.
Let's go take a shit.
So why don't you take a shit by yourself?
No, dude.
Why are they taking this shit together?
they're boys.
No, like, we don't do that. Even as a gay. Boys. Even as a gay, we don't go to the bathroom.
Straight men do shit like that.
I guess.
Don't you got brothers?
We don't shit together.
Yeah, you don't shit with them, but what they be doing with their friends?
Like, I don't know what the shit they're doing.
Straight dudes do the weirdest shit with their friends.
And then also, to go to the ending... When they say, oh, we finally made it to Paris.
Wow. It's weird being here, huh? We finally completed a puzzle.
Why did you get back on the airplane?
No, that's facts.
Like, I was just thinking, like, to myself, yes, I have all these places, all these countries I want to visit that I plan on visiting. But if I just narrowly survived a plane explosion, a plane crash, or whatever, a hijacking, it could have been a loose fucking boat. If I survived this deadly incident, you cannot catch me on a plane. Get me on a boat. Get me on a train. But I won't be on a plane. Like, I don't care what the situation is. Like, why did they go to Paris? You almost died. And why is that bitch blonde all of a sudden?
Damn, she can't dye her hair? I don't think that was the... Well, okay, now I don't remember. Now, I really don't remember if this was the case. I don't think that was the original ending, though.
Nope, it wasn't.
Okay, not, so maybe that's why.
That's not the original ending. Yep, that's exactly why.
Yeah. Like,
I know the real world reason of why her hair was blonde, but, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but yeah, so but that was that ending scene, that was a good one, because, you know, watching it for the first time, shit, I was fooled. I was like, okay, it's all good now, you know. But damn, Death was like, nah, we coming back, we go spin the block. Mm-hmm. Death really said we go spin the block. It came right back for their ass. So yeah, that was a good one. Also,
we can talk about the kills too. You can go ahead and mix it all up in.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the one with Mrs. Luden, I think that was her name. The teacher.
The teacher. Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. That whole scene was crazy for her. And then, like, now, okay, I get. I get that he wanted to try to save her by pulling a knife out. I get that. But at the same time, it's like, bro.
Rule one-on-one. You, if something is sticking out of someone, you don't pull it out. You leave it in, because it's that thing that's inside of them is keeping the blood and everything inside. But once you take the fucking thing out, they bleed out. You know? And then, your fucking head, fingerprints all over the weapon now. They're going to make you murder the woman. Exactly. Like, I don't understand. It's so much. It was so much happening. And since we're mixing in kills, I have to say, I've seen this movie several times, but the bus scene.
I'm moving on, Carter. And if you want to waste your life beating the shit out of Alex every time you see him, then you can just drop fucking dead.
Still gets me. It still gets me. And I'm not gonna lie, like, when I rewatched the movie today for the podcast, I was high. And so when I tell you being high, when that bus scene happened, I was not prepared because she literally just turned around and then snapped.
Oh my god. It's literally like showing somebody this movie for the first time and them get into that scene is like having somebody watch like Scream for the first time and seeing like the twist and shit at the end, because it's like everybody's always surprised at that.
Yes, because it just happens out of fucking nowhere. Like they're all talking, like the way it's set up, you know something's about to happen, but you aren't sure what it is.
Mm.
And I was thinking, you know, we're going to get rid of Carter first. He's a jackass. But then, no, it's his girlfriend. But then, the disappointing kill for me, only because we don't see it, and we don't even get a confirmation until, like, the next movie, is Carter. Because
mm-hmm.
I kept on, every time I watched that scene, I'm just like, could he have survived that? Because I feel like Alex had enough time to be like, just drop. Or Alex could have like made Carter fall before the fucking sign hit him. I feel like there was time to save Carter from the sign.
Or was There's that just a me? Little? I mean, there probably was a little time that they could have used to try to save him. But I don't know. I like what we got.
Yeah, but what about you? Any other scenes or kills that stood out? Kills or scenes? Oh, the interrogation shit after the plane explosion. Like, these kids are traumatized. Everyone they know, their entire class was just blown up. They were almost blown up. Like, give these kids a minute. And where are their parents?
Yeah, I do agree with that, because, you know, but also I get, but it's like also one of those things was like, I get it at the same time. Because like, if somebody was like, let's be realistic. Somebody's like, the plane's going to explode. They get you off. The plane takes off and then explodes. Nah.
Yeah, lock him up. Yeah, lock him up. I get it.
I do get it. Cause like, ain't no way. Like, especially now, if this was now, everybody getting off that plane, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They getting everybody off the plane. Exactly. They're about to recheck everybody. It's about to be a whole ordeal.
They send another plane in just to be safe.
Literally.
Like, so, don't like, play with
doing, but before we leave scenes, I just gotta mention my boy, Tony Todd.
In death, there are no accidents, no coincidences, no mishaps, and no escapes. What you have to realize is that we're all just a mouse that a cat has by the tail. Every single move we make, from the mundane to the monumental, the red light that we stop at or run, the people we have sex with or won't with us, the airplanes that we ride or walk out of. It's all part of death's sadistic design.
Leading to the grave. I was already scared of him because my little ass was always scared of the fucking Candyman. So when I saw him in this, I was like, nope, he doing it. It's him. He'd be scaring the fuck out of me. His demeanor is just
that
like...
That was another scene. It's the voice.
It is the voice. Like, it's his eyes be scaring me.
Like, I guess. Let's move on to characters. Not that much police presence in this one. There wasn't really much going on with the cop. There wasn't like a cop that was I know in like the latter ones.
The fifth one for sure.
Yes, but in this one it's not. So we're gonna skip the cops. And we're gonna talk about William Bloodsworth, played by Tony Todd. Now we get like what, one or two scenes with this character, but I know he comes back in sequels. Mm-hmm. He's mysterious, he works at a mortuary. He knows about Death's design. So it's like, is he in cahoots with Death? Is he profiting off of Death because he works in a mortuary?
That, I'm sorry, that'd be so funny.
How does he know about the design? Like, this is one of my main gripes with this franchise. It's just like, it starts with this movie and it continues with all his appearances. It's like, how does he know about Death? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've thought the same, like, with it, especially after seeing this one, and then he comes back, like, later on in the series and stuff. And it's kind of one of those things where he kind of just exists as the, what's the word I'm looking for? He kind of exists as just a plot device, yeah, exposition device for us, really. And but it works, but I don't know why, because like, you know, other movies, if this was another movie, I'd have been like, why is he telling us everything? Like, this doesn't, I'm not fucking with this, but it works in here for some reason for me, because it's so mysterious.
And it makes you want to know more about him. That's what I think it is. Like, yes, it's exposition. But it's exposition coming from this random character who we don't have anything, we don't know anything about.
And I think that's like, what it is.
And like, usually when a character comes on scene, like a random character out the blue comes on scene, gives exposition, and then leave, I hate it. But the fact that it's Tony Todd and the voice and it's just like everything mixed in makes me want to know more and makes me mad that we don't get more, besides these like two scenes we get him in this movie.
Yeah, I get what you mean, and that's kind of how I feel about it too. When it comes to like Bloodsworth's character, like he's kind of like he's like our little franchise like spokesperson. Like when he pops up, it's like, oh, Bloodsworth back.
Yes, it makes it, and the movies that he's not in, I'm still like looking for him, like, when is he gonna pop up? How are they gonna do this? Because I know he's... There are two of them he's not in. He's not in three, he's not in four.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you have any more thoughts on Bloodsworth?
Yeah, nothing else on him. Well, I know, I'm glad he'll be... We already know he's coming back for the new one.
I'm excited for that. I can't wait to see how he plays in. Hopefully we get more fleshed out. Sorry.
Yeah, I would definitely like that. I think we are, though. I think they did kind of say that we would be.
Well, let's move on to Carter, our resident dick, who became Alex's best friend at the end. Now, again, I was a huge Kerwin Smith fan from Dawson's Creek. You know, he played the gay character. And I thought he was a cute little white boy, but this was a whole different character compared to what I was used to seeing him as. And I thought he was going to die, like, early on. And the fact that people kept on dying and he didn't die, I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? The meathead jock is always, like, victim number two or three. Why is he still here? Then I was like, damn, they finna redeem him. And then, damn, here came the sign.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I would have been okay if he was in a sequel instead of the person that we get in the sequel. No spoilers.
I kind of like who we got in the sequel. No spoilers.
I do too. But if it was a 1-2 punch, it could have been both of them. But you know, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen the movie, watched the movie. But what about you? What are your thoughts on Carter?
Yeah, Carter definitely came off as that. Even though this movie came out in 2000, he definitely was given 90s, like, They were also in high school, but he was given like 90s like douchey frat bro character, and he was just being kind of like a dick for no reason type of deal.
I mean, this movie came out in like the summer 2000. They were still shaking off the 90s.
Yeah, so you know, we basically was right there, but understandable. It didn't kick in for him on what we were into until his girlfriend fucking got splattered by a bus in front of him. But what was also funny to me with this character was that whole scene when then he decided to stop on the train tracks. He was like, no, we're like all gonna go out, and like he got stuck and like how scared he got.
Get out!
No! It was like, oh, like them defenses. He was real quick.
So scared. He was ready to piss himself. Like I thought, real, like,
yeah, like them defenses ran down real quick when like real shit was in front of you. So he really wasn't even like all that. What he was trying to like, you know, step into. So it wasn't even like that big of a deal with him. But yeah, he served his purpose for like what his archetype needed to be for like a horror movie, I guess you could say.
I thought the character was needed. I was just still surprised that he was in more of the movie that I thought he was going to be in. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Clear Rivers?
I hated her name. Why's her name Clear, bro? Because I always just call her as Clear.
No. I swear I thought it was Clear. But
that shit was always funny to me. I did like her character, though, because I do like Ali Larder as an actress. So
I love Ali Larder. I've been a huge fan since she was in Heroes. That's where I first saw her in Heroes.
I think I only first saw her in this, and then after that, the Resident Evil movies and shit. Which I used to confuse her and Mila Jovovich a bit, because they do kind of favor each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like her in this movie. She was the only one that was really trying to be helpful. Like, because it's like, in the context of the movie, of course, I do understand, you know, this situation. Like, you just got saved from, like, being killed in a plane explosion. Got that. And I get why some people wouldn't want to associate with a person who, you know, even though they got them off the plane and stuff, I could see why somebody wouldn't want to associate with, like, Alex, for example, because it's giving bad omen vibes. It's giving, like, oh, like, we got saved, but, like, you're also, that's not really good energy. So she was the only one that was, you know, trying to be there for him in this time, because he basically got turned into a social outcast at that point. No matter how many, people he got off the plane, if somebody, you know, if somebody's kid or other family member didn't make it off, like they're mad at him. So understandable to an extent, but she, you know, was the only one that was kind of trying to help him out and figure out what is going on with all of this. And she was very good in that kind of supporting role that they placed her into. And I also like that they didn't force them into a relationship immediately, which is, I think, kind of where that alternate ending comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that it wasn't kind of forced, because that would have felt like a little too much to me. Or, you know, kind of like, sure, like, they'll be together now. And I'm trying to think, because I don't know why I feel like I would have liked it better if she was the protagonist. not liked it better. I feel like I would have liked her as the protagonist as opposed to Alex.
Really?
I think so. But
she was kind of dry at first, though.
But I feel like that was kind of like her character, though, right? Like outcast, kind of like damn, why am I forgetting that? Like she was given that she was given the energy as that girl from the Breakfast Club, the basket case.
Oh, Allie. Her name was also Allie. But yeah, I guess her name.
Like she was kind of giving. I feel like she was giving like that energy, which you know that matches like what the character they were going for with her. Maybe if they had switched, you know, the character type around a bit, you know, it could have worked as her being a protagonist. But liked her in this movie, and for what's to come.
Well, let's talk about Alex now. What we didn't do, which I forgot, I wanted to talk about the premonition itself. Well, so we'll go back to that. But Alex, like, I don't think it's ever explained why the person who gets the vision gets the vision.
Never.
Like, and because going back, thinking like someone like I don't know. I just didn't like the character of Alex. Like I'd never clicked with him. Yeah.
That's how I feel. That's why I said I would have probably like Claire as the main character, because I never really liked Alex.
Yeah, Alex just wasn't clicking. And it wasn't because of the acting or anything. You know, there are other scenes and actors in this movie that was doing a bad job. But you know, I just didn't feel connected to this character. He just felt manic. Like when we first meet him, like we get he's nerdy, he's anxious, he's weird. But that doesn't improve. He just gets more nerdy and anxious and weird and progresses. And I just never felt like, because the character was always manic, I can never feel comfortable when the character was on screen.
That's an interesting take.
How about you? What are your thoughts on Alex?
Yeah, I don't really know what it is, but it was just something about the character. And like you mentioned, it wasn't Devin Sawa, like it wasn't an actor. Like he was doing good, like for what was given to him. But yeah, just something about the characterization and how they wanted this character of Alex to act, it was just never really clicking for me. And I never really understood why that is. It kind of still don't to this point. I will agree with what you were kind of saying with like how you were never, not like comfortable, but you were never really
I never able to be at ease watching the movie.
Yeah, but also it's like fuck, because I probably wouldn't be at ease either if that shit just happened to me. So it's also kind of that as well. It's like also like agree with the character's feelings, because if that happened to me, like nobody would be seeing me, but two, I'm looking behind my back for the rest of my life, depending on, well, you know, when I had that much time in this universe. But as long as I could, because I would be so paranoid at that point, especially because we don't have any reasoning as to why the premonition happened. And if you just see it like that, and it does happen, I'm scared as fuck. And I would also be like, anxious as hell, scared as fuck, all of that, just like Alex. But I don't know how to explain why. Maybe it is Devin Sawa, I don't know. Because like everything the character did, I get. But the way that it came across in the movie, I don't like or care for.
it was just something about the character itself. It just something just always felt like I don't know. It just felt like something was missing. Character was all like, I get, like you said, I get why the character was anxious and all over the place and felt weird. But it never let the audience be at ease, which I guess works. If we're all on edge like he is, I guess that works to a degree. Hmm. But I don't know. It just, I felt a disconnect when it came to Alex.
I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've come to the end of the beginning, but I forgot, so we're going to do it here. Let's talk about the premonition. Now, the setup for it was great. You know, I didn't even remember first watching it, and I'm thinking, like, damn, they just killed off the entire fucking cast. Like, what the fuck is this about to be about? And then it snaps back and it hasn't happened yet. Now, what were your thoughts on the premonition?
The premonition was really good. It's like, especially, you know, just like the scene with Terry and him on a bus, seeing it for the first time and, you know, not knowing what you're about to get into. Like, they built it up so well, especially like when the plane was like get ready to leave and stuff, like, and the music they were playing during the scene, like, it all came together so well, and it really cemented like this movie and the rest of them, like, with the way that they went about the premonition, because it's like people associate Final Destination with, one, the premonition at the beginning of the movie, and then, two, the way, the creative ways that the characters go out. It's kind of like, you know, we all know it's like the thing of the franchise. So the way they set this one up so good, and then it kicking back into Alex being on the plane, like, right before it happens, and then getting everyone off, it was just perfect.
It kind of set it up perfectly. Like, it was like a, you get to, just throughout the premonition, it gives you a close-up of, like, each person dying that we're going to eventually spend more time with. And it's just showing these people just being picked off, and, like people, those airplane deaths were wild. And then that unknown couple that gets, like, the unknown girl who gets, like, swept out and, like,
crazy
sucked up into the engine turbine. Was like, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that was insane. Like, the whole premonition was insane, and it had a lot going on, and I don't know, it just seemed like, yeah, I get why he was freaked out and anxious. Did I like it? Like, based off the, if I had that premonition, I don't know if I would have been able to function properly, but I don't know. Almost at the end, but we're not quite there yet, because Tuan has to give the people the behind-the-scenes info and facts. Tuan?
Final Destination had a budget of $23 million, and it brought in a box office of $112.9 million. Some interesting facts. The movie was originally supposed to be an X-Files episode. The episode was titled Flight 180 and had the same basic concept of teens cheating death, but the main character in the episode would have been Scully's brother. But with the film, they were able to be so much more detailed when discussing Death's role in the plane crash. Most of the characters in this movie get memorable death scenes, but their character names are even more fascinating, as most of the characters' names in the film pay tribute to iconic horror directors and actors. The filmmakers originally had an ending in which Alex grabs the cable that lies on Claire's car. Alex catches fire and dies. Then Claire gets her baby and Carter survives. The test audiences didn't like this, so the filmmakers shot another ending in which Alex is decapitated by a crashing police helicopter. That sounds interesting.
they were going to have a baby, and then Carter and Clea were going to raise their baby. Okay.
Yeah, I would I agree with the audiences on this one. I'm glad what we got, actually. Maybe the test audiences aren't always wrong. Some critics' reactions. The film currently sits at a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, that's not. The New York Times said that even by the crude standards of teenage horror, Final Destination is dramatically flat. The Washington Post wrote that your own Final Destination just might be the box office to demand your money back. While Robert Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times enjoyed the film and gave it 3 out of 4 stars, stating that Final Destination will no doubt be a hit and inspire the obligatory sequels. Like the original Scream, this movie is too good to be the end of the road. See, that's why I fuck with Roger Ebert. He saw the vision.
He did. He even said in that same quote that after he put, oh, you know, I can see that more sequels are coming, he was like, oh, I even have my own in mind. Like, he saw the vision.
That's why he's one of the GOATs.
For some of his for some questionable takes. But what about our take, sure. Tuan? Do we cash or pass Final Destination? Tuan?
Yes. Unlike those critics, I very much cash Final Destination. I've always had a good time watching this movie. I'm always talking about this movie and like and the others like sequels, because some of the stuff that just happens in them, you're able to just bring them back up so easily, and it's very not like quotable in pop culture, but like visually, when people, you know, you see certain things, it makes you think of Final Destination, and it's very easy to just like, oh, Final Destination moment when something happens. So it's definitely one of those things that movies that have survived the test of time. Glad we're finally talking about it and happy to see it come back. This first one was a blast, and literally. And yeah, I very much cashed this one. I don't have any problems like coming back and watching this movie whenever.
Well, for me, it's also going to be a cash. I love Final Destination. And like you said, Tuan, there's things that happen every day that just remind you of a Final Destination movie. I'm not going to lie. Like, there are certain like little shakes on a plane where I'm just like, damn, is this my moment? Am I about to, you know, am I about to get my vision? So, like, I don't know, this movie, I don't know, it's, I don't want to say it's a cult classic, but I think it is. It's a cult classic. But this is a movie that, like, this is a movie and kicking off a franchise that we've all seen some part of somehow. And it's just, this is a good movie. The killer, the intensity is there, whether you like it or not. I didn't really like most of the intensity because it was coming off of just one character, but it's there. And this is a good movie. So this is the cash. This is art to the franchise that they didn't know was going to be a franchise. And for me, kicking off for the rest of these movies, again, there are 2 more movies that I definitely like for sure. There's one that's okay, and then there's just one that is just horrible. But we will get there when we get there. So thank you guys so much for joining us for this new retrospective review. Alien will be back with us next week. But until then, good night.
If you like this episode, please check out the Haddonfield Horror Podcast from big series like Friday the 13th, Halloween, and Saw, or our one-off reviews like The Blackening and Hereditary. You can follow Haddonfield Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and mini-reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms and YouTube. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. The Haddonfield Horror Podcast is produced by Mark Smart,
Maria Perez,
Juan Griffin, and Elian Cordova. Themed by Lethal Injection and edited by Mark Smart.
The Haddonfield Horrors Podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?